Please rise.
My allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Board of Supervisors meeting, November the 1st, 2022. Are there any changes to the agenda?
I have none.
How about you, Dr. Brewer?
I do not.
If we move on, meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, county auditor.
Good morning. One week from today is big day, so. I sent an election news update to all the media to remind them that we will be open Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. for absentee voting. And that everybody needs to get, if they had a ballot mailed to them, make sure they get it dropped in the mail pretty soon. And because we have to receive that on election day. And so far, we have sent out, we have had 3,422 ballot requests. And we have received 2,853 of those. So getting a pretty good turn back in, so.
Good.
That's it.
Thanks, Terry. Colin Durst, IT.
Just keeping busy like always, but nothing to report.
Okay, thanks, Colin. Trent Heckmeck, attorney's office.
Sure. Linda just came down from upstairs. Lisa's got a trial. I had to get some stuff off for her. Everything else went pretty smooth. Like we said about the West Burlington shooting, that was a heavy lift, and we didn't get it. But without the witnesses and the victim being willing to testify, it's tough. But other than that, nothing really out of the ordinary.
Okay. Thank you, Trent. Rodney Bleeker, maintenance.
Good morning. We're just staying busy. We've got a bid opening this afternoon with the jail projects. 2 o'clock, so other than that, nothing new to report.
Okay. Jared Lasseter, Southeast Iowa Regional Clinic.
Land use has been pretty normal, nothing really out of the ordinary. We're moving forward on some of the ordinance updates. We got a planning for the start the public hearings for that airport ordinance amendment in a couple of weeks, and then around that same time we'll be ready to have our next work session on wind and solar with our initial draft of those, which I'm working in the process of finalizing right now. So apart from that, we got a subdivision up for review, probably going to be on the agenda next week, and that's really all I have.
Okay, thanks, Jared. Janelle, how's the treasurer's office?
Good morning. We've been busy. We will be printing about 1,300 delinquent notices that will go out today. But it's business as usual.
Okay. Thank you. Chris Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We've also been keeping busy. Want to remind everybody we still have the flu vaccine and as well as the bivalent and the primary dose for the COVID vaccine. So we're giving those no appointment necessary, 8:30 to 4 on Thursdays. Walk-ins are welcome.
Okay, thank you. Natalie Steffner, reporter's office.
Good morning. Just a reminder that off-highway vehicles and snowmobiles do expire December 31st. So you can come into the office and renew those, or you can now renew online. Otherwise, just business as usual.
Okay, thank you. First Lady, Conservation.
Good morning. Crews are out. We're starting the park closing process now. So we've shut the water off of the Fort Knox Station and down above the recreation area. We will leave Big Hollow open until we get a sustained freeze and we'll worry about hydrants freezing up because we do still have campers in there. But otherwise, we're starting the transition into winter mode.
Thank you. Brian Clark, Secondary Roads.
Hi, good morning. Probably still a big topic, the 99 project's still going. Flags were supposed to come down yesterday and that got delayed, so hopefully they'll come down today. Well, I don't think, as I sit here, I can guarantee it, but they should be down soon. I think that'll please everybody that has to go through there. So their contractor is not done, but is definitely on the back side of things, has some rock to haul and a little bit of winter work to do. and the bridge contractor is at least talking about getting things ramped up here over the next couple of weeks, so we'll see if that actually happens or not. Obviously, the bridge work will happen while the road is two lanes, so I think the big topic is just people looking forward to not having to sit for those lights anymore. Can't blame them for that, so. We did extend a job offer for our motor grader position. It was accepted, so at some point I'll run a personnel action through the board for that. Good to get that position filled. We're advertising for another opening. I think that closes the week after Veterans Day, I believe, for that position, so we'll see where that goes. And then we have a bid out for the Bridgeport project. Take bids on that later this week, so. Other than that, trying to use the warm weather and moisture and blading and getting stuff done.
Thanks, Brian. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Just keeping busy, but nothing new to report.
Okay, thank you. Ken Heinlein, sales agent, mental health.
Yeah, good morning. One thing I might mention is that we did an RFP. The SEAL region has led an RFP for the ACT treatment. ACT is an evidence-based service delivery model with the primary goal of recovery through community treatment and rehabilitation. It serves individuals with the most challenging and persistent problems. Priorities given to people with schizophrenia, other psychotic disorders, and bipolar disorder. So the program provides psychiatric services, case management, support counseling, and psychotherapy, housing support, substance abuse treatment, employment support, and rehabilitative services. 24-hour crisis supports included. So we got this RFP out, and you know, some of the psychiatrists that come from the Johnson County area have said for years, oh, I wish you had an ACT team like what Johnson County has. And so we're trying to get one, and we'll see what responses we get, but it's just come out.
It's been a downfall in this area for some time.
Mental health's a big issue, and anything we can do to improve services, we're certainly trying. This is something that the state requires ACT teams now, and so we're doing our best to try and find a provider to do that service.
We appreciate that, yeah. Thank you.
An ACT team has to have a psychiatrist on staff, right?
Yeah, they have a psychiatrist, an ACT leader, and a psychiatrist, psychiatric nurses, employment specialists, substance abuse specialists, certified peer specialists, program assistant, additional mental health professionals if needed. So that's the things that are listed in the ACT team. So pretty comprehensive. Goes out to the person. You know, a lot of times we have outpatient services that people can go to. We have police officers responding to people in crisis, but this is a mental health professional going out to people and trying to provide some extra level of service. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you, Ken. Doug, how's the jail population?
Good morning. Yeah, everything's doing good at the jail. We're finally at full staff, so that's going to relieve some overtime there on our correctional officers. We have 97 total right now. 24 of those are being housed out of county. Six or seven are waiting to go to a treatment facility. It's just whenever beds are available, we can take them to like ADS or Salvation Army in Davenport. And eight are waiting to get into the residential facility, and that waits anywhere from a couple weeks to 6 months. So it's just random on that. So other than that, our populations went down a little bit. But hopefully we can get some of the people into the treatment programs and a residential facility to help bring back, drop that 24 number that's being housed out of county. The Sheriff's Department is conducting civil service interviews yet today, later on this afternoon. They have seven candidates. They're pretty excited about that there's seven good ones there. And also they participated in a safe trick-or-treat last night. It was a success. We bagged up a lot of candy and handed it out. Other than that, nothing new to report.
Them 14, them 8 and 6, them belong to the state, but we're still paying housing out of the county for, right?
Eight of those belong to the state.
Eight of them belong to the state.
The ones that go to the residential facility would belong to the state. The treatment ones would be ours, yeah.
Still think state ought to reimburse us for them times when they do that, but.
Yeah, we will not get reimbursed for those eight either.
It costs you people out there for what the state's not doing.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Did I miss anybody? Moving on to correspondence. I'll tell you, we've got a lot of correspondence from several people, and it has to do with why you people are here. So we'll cover them during the work session, and there's too many of them to read into correspondence, unless you want to stay here until about 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Probably deal with it during public input. I think that's probably what you're here for.
But we'll have 2 minutes for each one of you if you want to have something to say here, public input then. Okay. Moving on to discussion and vote. We have payroll claim reimbursements in the amount of $1,157.42.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCowney.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have account payable claims in the amount of $488,244.28.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCowney.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have a resolution supporting the resolution 2022-071 supporting the operation of green lights for veterans. I shall read this to you. Whereas the residents of Des Moines County have great respect, admiration, and the utmost gratitude for all of the men and women who have selflessly served our country and this community in the armed forces. And whereas the contributions and sacrifices of the men and women who serve in the armed forces have been a vital maintaining the freedom of ways of life enjoyed by our citizens, and whereas Des Moines County seeks to honor these individuals who have paid the high price for freedom by placing themselves in harm's way for the good of all, and whereas veterans continue to serve our community in the American Legion, veterans of foreign wars, religious groups, civil service, and functioning as county veteran service officers in 29 states to help follow former service members, access more than $52 billion in federal health, disability, and compensation benefits each year. Whereas approximately 200,000 service members transition to civilian communities annually, and whereas an estimated 20% increase of service members will transition to a civilian life in the near future, and whereas studies indicate that 44 to 72% of service members experience high levels of stress during transitions from military to civilian life, and whereas active military service members transitioning from military services are at a high risk of suicide during their first year after military service, and whereas the National Association of Counties encourages all counties, parishes, and boroughs to recognize the operation Green Light for the veterans, and whereas the Des Moines County appreciates the sacrifice of the United States military personnel and believes specific recognition should be granted, therefore be it resolved with the designation as a Green Light for Veterans County, Des Moines County hereby declares from October through Veterans Day, November the 11th, 2022, the time to salute and honor the service and sacrifice of our men and women in uniform transferring from active service. Therefore, be it further resolved that in observance of Operation Green Light, Des Moines County encourages its citizens in patriotic tradition to recognize the importance in honoring all those who made immeasurable sacrifices to preserve freedom and displaying a green light in the window of their place of business.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Turk.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes, please.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. And for those of you in the crowd that's been in the service military, thank you for your service. Okay, we have an agreement with the CMBA architect on the new public health building.
This is just the final product of the, we've all seen various, along the various stages of development, so this is just the final product as you guys have seen.
It says this project includes spaces for offices, clinic, testing, education, fitness, storage, and drive-through capability for vaccine distribution and testing.
Yep.
Motion to approve.
Second.
The agreement.
Turk.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Okay, we have personnel action. We have one for Dead Tom. It's for Lance Dumblazer, General Communication. Last day of work at 10/26/22. And final rate of pay was $21.01 an hour.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Turk.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. And we have two for the correctional center. We have Cassandra Belknap, dietary manager, anniversary, 6 month step increase from $39,300.65 a year to the new rate of $41,484.01 a year. And we got one more for the correctional center. We'll do both of these at the same time. This is for James, for Pleasant, James Pleasant.
James Pleasant.
James Pleasant, okay. It's an anniversary, 12-month step increase, and he's a full-time correctional officer. Previous rate was $42,429.10 a year. The new rate is $43,501.25 per year.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Both of them?
Yep.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. We have reports to the jail staff for September of 2022. This report will be in the auditor's office to view at your own discretion. Do we have any other business?
Minutes.
Oh, minutes. We do have minutes, don't we? What do I do with them? Okay. We have the minutes from the regular meeting on October 25th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Minutes. Second.
Carrie.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Now, is there any other business?
I have none.
I have none either. Future agenda items?
I think we've touched on that with the work sessions. We've got a work session on solar and wind coming up and...
An airport.
Yeah.
Committee reports.
I have none this week.
I I attended a Southeast Iowa Regional Planning Meeting and the thing reported on that, or funding, part about that SKG transportation funding. They pushed the date back. I think Jared sent an email out.
Yeah, just the end of the month, because we, in practice, we don't score those until February anyway, and it's sometimes it's a challenge for communities getting it together in the, around the holidays, so.
Which is a good thing. Okay, public input. Anybody from the public, online, has anything, they can call 319-753-8203 extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes to do so. And anybody in the audience have anything to say, we'll give each one of you 2 minutes to speak what you want to talk about. Yes.
John Archer, 210 Edgewater Beach Road. Of course, our guys got emails from the meeting that we had with Chris last week. I think you guys agree that moving forward to putting campsites on FEMA properties isn't in anybody's favor, okay? That's the impression I got from you guys. We can rehash this, but you've read all the emails and all, you saw the big turnout, the support that we have against this. Nobody wants campers and problems in their side yard, okay? We don't either, okay? We support Chris wholeheartedly in his effort to provide fund his department, okay? But we're willing to do our part, you know, as a community to fundraise where we need to. We're also asking for your support in helping him do, I mean, what he does is a wonderful thing, okay? For the community, okay? And we just all need to support him. So I didn't know if you guys wanted to vote on this or how you approach it.
We can't vote on it today. We have to put it on the agenda.
Okay. So that will be next week, or?
Well, I'm not sure. We're probably looking a couple weeks down the road.
Okay.
We got a lot of stuff we got to go over first.
Okay.
We have budget meetings coming up here, starting kickoff November the 15th. We have the budget kickoff out of Stars Cave, and then we'll get some more numbers from everything together. So it's going to be a while. It might be 3 weeks, 4 weeks, but it just takes time.
Are you taking into consideration about maybe providing some more funding for the conservation department?
We'll have to see how that goes, for sure.
Yeah. Is there something we can do on our end to put that in his favor?
Well, I think it's going to be on our end where it's at, you know.
Is there money from the state available? I get different feedback on possible state money available for the county conservation
department. There's grant money out there, and I think we allocated $100,000 of our ARPA money for Chris to try to pull some grants in, you know.
Okay.
So that's a pretty reasonable amount, you know, trying to pull some grants in. I think we lost the Wellmark grant, and so it's, and that's up to Chris to look for some more of them grants.
So did the county supervisor actually cut his budget this year?
Yes.
Yeah. And was there a reason for that?
Well, it's kind of a complicated thing.
Okay.
You want to go with this or you want me to?
Let me touch on that, but I'd rather everybody got a chance to talk first.
Very good.
And we'll address those questions.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Chris Blazing, 201 Rogues Road. We have FEMA lots basically surrounding the property that we own and have had for 20, 25 years. You know, we have a lot of concerns in regards to what the proposition is, whether it's maintenance, whether it's trash, whether it's sanitary, who's going to be in those spots if it were allowed. And of course, we oppose it greatly. We're definitely in favor of the conservation effort, and we would like to help them as much as possible. And we like your support so that we don't have to deal with people in our backyard or side yards, and in turn support the conservation effort. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Ron Wunderlich, 204 Edgewater Beach Road. All the roads and driveways up there from Tama Road are maintained by us. We pay for it, you know, take care of them. They're in nice shape. If we have bad weather and somebody comes up there in one of these lots and drags a bunch of mud on the road, you know, they're not going to have a welcome wagon waiting for them up there, I'm telling you. It's just, you know, we try to make it nice up there. And I understand wanting to camp and be on the river, but, you know, invest in property like we have. You know, it's, you know, that's my big concern. I don't have any right next to me, but I can see everybody's point. I just, you know, not in favor of it. But along with everybody else, I do support Chris, you know, and I hope they can do okay.
Some of my email to some of the people I talked to commend you for taking care of some of the dead trees.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah.
Brad Weiss, I have two lots down there on Edgewater Beach with adjacent cable lots next to them. We've kept them up for years. I know we weren't supposed to. It was supposed to be natural areas, but there's one down on Levee Crossing 1, and the ditch weed's about this tall. You can't even see the sign that's growing up over the sign. And like in my email, I stated that I don't think the county would chastise us for keeping them up because our taxes go up, we get reassessed, you know, we pay our tax, we pay a premium down there, we get reassessed. But if we had one of those lots next to our property, then our, you know, that's bad news. I had a lot next to me for years. It was owned by an individual that never kept it up, and I kept it up for them, just the simple fact that I didn't want weeds this tall right next to my house with vermin in it and mosquitoes in it and stuff like that. I understand the natural areas, but these are residential areas, and I don't think a natural area or an unkept lot in a residential area is a good thing. And we wouldn't allow it in the city. We wouldn't allow it in the counties. Some cities actually come in and clean them up for you. And so that's what we were complaining about. We, you know, like Chris said, maybe we should have enforced that a little more. Well, but we shouldn't be allowed, we shouldn't have those next to our properties. Because it drags down our properties, plus it causes vermin and mosquitoes, and there's enough mosquitoes down there the way it is. But that's why we kept them up. And it does look nice down there, and it is marketable for that. But we've done all that work ourselves. In fact, we even, as the trees fall, now that we've had all these dead trees in the last couple of years, as those limbs fall, we have to clean them up. The one that, and two of them on, well, I've got them on both properties, but the one, there's one next to me that's got four dead trees, and I've got a pile of brush this tall right now just from picking it up and piling it up. And Ron's helped me pile some up actually too. So that's all I wanted to say, is that we kept them up for a reason, and that was to keep our property values up, and hence I think it shows in our tax base. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. As far as the taxes, talk about your high taxes. That's the state. Well, we have to go to the auditor's office.
Exactly.
And deal that with them. So we have no control over that.
Okay, thank you.
I do want to say thanks to all you guys that did do that work, you know, the picking up limbs and all of that stuff that on property that wasn't yours to, because you have pride in where you live. That means a lot, which is appreciated. I also want to, I just want to get this out of the way real quick. I also want to say, Chris, I'm not mad at you for turning over every stone. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel like if you wouldn't have looked at it, maybe you weren't doing your job. I disagree with it as well. I'm not for that, but at the same time, I can appreciate you looking for ways of revenue and for your department. That being said, I think we can find a different way. There's more than one way to get a cat, but I do. I appreciate where everybody's coming from. I know with some of the emails, I didn't even email. I just called you back because it's just easier to just get it out and say, hey, how I feel about it. But I just wanted out there that I do appreciate, Chris, where you're coming from, and I can appreciate everybody that supports Chris on that as well. But I just feel like the FEMA land was, once the government takes a hold of that, and I think we not let the government do what it does and leave it at that. But anyway, so to the rest.
Anybody else have anything to say? Okay, 2 minutes is up for people to call in, so.
Can I have a couple minutes?
Yes, you can.
First, thanks for coming down here. We appreciate you, your support for conservation. And making us aware of your concerns. And I want to apologize to all the people in the Tama Road area for the alarm caused by the conservation's leasing proposal. It is not and will not be the practice of Des Moines County to intentionally inflict emotional distress on our residents. The conservation director mentioned leasing of the FEMA property in passing at a recent Board of Supervisors meetings. I assumed he was talking about agricultural use, like the reuse of the 2008 buyout properties, and didn't think much about it. It didn't occur to me that conservation would disrupt the peace and emotional well-being of homeowners. And I read the article too, and I'd make one comment. Operating something like a business does not mean generating revenue by threatening to disrupt people's lives. I know this board has no intention of that. We will not allow that. The board has always been supportive of conservation. We appreciate the great events and wonderful programs they sponsor. They have a great staff and unbelievably supportive volunteers, but our priority is and always will be the provision of essential services and protection of the taxpayers. The Conservation Board and the Board of Supervisors have different priorities and visions. The Board of Supervisors, our primary responsibility is to maintain the financial health of Des Moines County to provide the mandated services and do so at being as gentle on the taxpayers as we can be. And that's what we've tried to do. The Conservation Board, they have a different vision, they have different responsibilities, wants to build things. They want to use all their revenues to build new things. And the vision changes a little bit there. The Board of Supervisors looks at it like the revenue from that additional infrastructure, the cost of that is the operation and maintenance of that infrastructure. Conservation Board thinks that the taxpayers should pick up the operation and maintenance. There's a disagreement there. Not saying either one of us is right or wrong. We have different responsibilities. And I was reading the paper, I think, Mr. Archer, I think you mentioned in your email that there were ARPA funds available. And there are. There's rules for that. But the Conservation Board came to us a couple months ago with a request for $1 million in ARPA funds. They want to put a $4 million improvement out of Big Hollow. As part of that improvement, they want to spend $1.61 million on two cabins. Now, you guys probably know more about cabins than I do. I'm thinking you can probably build a pretty nice cabin for $800,000. Would that be correct?
Yes.
And I can't see the future. That, to me, doesn't look like a very good expenditure of funds. So we go round and around sometimes about what we think of an expenditure of funds is. We have trouble getting conservation. We've asked them 2 years to follow the county's salary structure. And the board, or the Code of Iowa, gives Conservation Board the power to appoint the conservation director and his rate of pay, and the conservation director then has the right to hire people at whatever pay they want. But the Code of Iowa also says that the county only has a duty to provide office space for conservation. It's not a mandated service. We've been very generous with conservation. Sometimes we get a little put out that we ask for things year after year after year to please follow county guidance. And the answer is always the same, no. So anyway, I'm not braining on them. I'm just saying there's two ways of looking at this. So the that's what we're wrestling with. I think I can speak for the board, or I just heard them. I know I can speak for the board. This leasing isn't going to happen. There's nothing about this that any of us understood would. So forget that. We will reach an agreement with conservation of some sort. I don't know what it'll be. We do every year. But I do appreciate your coming down here. So, and I, again, I apologize for any anxiety this has caused any of you. And I'm sure if somebody was going to, in the lot next to my house, and they were going to start renting it out as a party bus, I wouldn't get any sleep because I'd be upset and my wife wouldn't let me get sleep the rest of the time. So I know exactly how you feel. So that said, like I said, thank you for coming down and the board apologizes.
Thank you, Tom. I think pretty much spoke for all of us. I don't know about training, but for me. Okay, with an eye, we're out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
I'd like to lend some comments to some of that. So first off, regarding bringing this up just in passing. So this discussion regarding doing something with FEMA buyout areas has been talked about at length by the Conservation Department since at least 2019. It's written into our strategic plan that is reviewed annually at our Conservation Department. That we put something in there to look at doing possibly something with FEMA buyout areas. The idea of possibly building campgrounds on some of the larger ones, or the discussion of having them leased has come up repeatedly over the years and has been discussed for 3 months running at Conservation Board meetings. The last one, we actually had the letter that we were going to send to the property owners to invite them to this public meeting. At some point, if we were going to get serious about doing this process of looking at doing leases, we want to make sure we got public input. And so that was purely on that of, we knew that it probably was going to be unpopular, but with our budget situation, we trying to find every ounce of revenue we possibly can. So this was one that floated to the top that we were going to get serious about. And so in the interest of making sure that we were transparent and open to the public about it, this is why we had a public meeting last Tuesday and discussed this, and that's why we're here. This will be on my board's agenda tomorrow to discuss. I don't think my board's got a lot of appetite for it either, but we're discussing all possibilities. And in our work session, we're going to talk about some of the other possibilities and things that we've been looking at as far as cutting costs and generating revenue. So this was not just something that came out of the blue that we tried to incite a riot about. This has been strategic. It has been on our radar for quite some time. It's just now to the point where we have to get serious about it. As far as the cabins, building a residential cabin is very different from building a public cabin. And if you guys were going to build a cabin and you had to run all of the infrastructure as well, including the roads, including the septic system, the sewer system, and the electric and the water to get to where you're going, that runs the costs up quite a bit. I imagine if any of you have run Rathen water to your place, you know what that costs. So now add several hundred feet of distance into a very specific septic system, probably not also building everything to ADA standards as well. So that does run costs up. I know that cost seems astronomical, and I don't know that it'll ever happen, but that's what we're seeing from demand as far as what the public would like to see in our park as far as this vision. So that's where that comes from. And then as far as the salaries, there are a number of different salary systems across the county depending on what bargaining unit you're part of. And we established one. This was now going on 8 years ago to try to, over a long period of time, get our salaries caught up to at least the state average. And rather than doing 6 month increases the way general bargaining units would do, we're trying to do a step system that is almost twice the number of steps over 10 years. And so a number of our salaries at the top end still have not caught up to the state average for similar employees across the state within the world of county conservation. We're simply trying to be competitive, but doing it over a long period of time. And we can get into the nuances of that too if we want to in our work session. But and Tom, you're right. We do have differences of opinion on things, and and I think that's fine. And I think that having these discussions like this is a great thing. I know you guys don't agree with this leasing thing, but please understand it wasn't to where I was just trying to rile people up and get you all upset. This was considered, thought out well in advance, and it finally reached the point where we decided to start acting on it. But to do so, we wanted to make sure we had public opinion and public input on it rather than just blindly running off into some new program.
You still got votes on decaps.
So far. Not out of the room yet. That's all I got.
Okay. With an aye, we're out of here, gentlemen.
Aye.
Aye.